from tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 9th, 1998. Fourth of July week, a family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Coffey is the teacher of the afternoon.
It's dwindling, it looks like, but that's all right. The Lord's here.
Amen.
So we came to meet the Lord and to have the Lord minister to us.
Yes.
And He'll do it through His Word.
Yes.
So I just praise the Lord for what He's doing, for His mighty works, and for the His Word that is so real, that Word causes action to happen where it's impossible to move things in the natural.
Yes.
Yeah.
You ever stop to think about that? God's Word is that powerful. It's real. The Spirit of God is more real than all those things that you see round about you today. We take stock in the natural because we are fleshly people and we walk in the flesh, though we do not war after the flesh, but
yes,
we walk in the flesh. But we tend to take a lot of stock in the things because we're flesh. And God is trying to get those things out of us that we'll quit looking at those things and look at His Spirit and walk by His Spirit and move by His Spirit.
Yes.
And to listen to His Spirit. Now, we're ignorant of God's Word so many times. We have not fully gone into the Word of God. For instance, you're driving a Volkswagen, and a man comes along and he says, "I've got a Cadillac for you. It's parked right there on the street. It's yours. Here. It's yours." Well, praise the Lord. Look, and you go out and you look at this car, and it's got beautiful wheels. It's got a brand new, it's a new car. It's paint, it's shiny. You look inside, the interior is beautiful. You just walk around. Oh, it is so beautiful. I'm going to take this thing home, and we run out there and we go behind it and start pushing it. That's what we do. We start pushing it. We don't trust in what's down under the hood. We don't trust in what God has provided for us, and we get out on our own, and we're going to make it move in our flesh. Simply because we don't have the knowledge of what God has already promised, and it's true. And we try to do it in ourselves, in our own power, in our own strength. Now, we're going to talk about the enemy, naturally. This is what we're about in the afternoon sessions. We're going to talk about knowing who he is and more about him. But what we really need to do is to know more about our God so we can get rid of the enemy that's within us. And that's the only way it's going to work, is by the power of God and knowing this. Not only knowing, we have knowledge up here, but if we don't put it into practice and use what God has given us, it's of no value.
That's right.
Doesn't work a bit of good to know it, just to know it. Doesn't cause anything to happen, just knowing it. Now, I've got to move. We got to put feet to this faith that we have. We're going to have to make it move. We're going to have to do something. And in Exodus, go turn with Exodus 20th chapter. You know what that is. Most of you know what that is, I'm pretty sure, when I said Exodus 20. You know, when I was a child, I had to learn Scripture too. I memorized this part as a child. And, of course, it didn't mean anything to me as a child, not what it should. And I had to wait till I became an adult. Not only an adult, I had to really grow up in the Lord before I understood what He was talking about. In Exodus 20, we have God's commands to us, but I'm not going to read all of God's commands. That's not where we're going. Look at verse 5. "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them who do not obey my word." Your Bible says to them that hate me. But if you will look that up, it means to them that do not obey my word. And as iniquity is in us and upon us, and we walk in it, we open doors for the enemy to attack us. You know this. I mean, where new can we go in deliverance that I cannot? But you know, even though we know it, it hasn't got down in our spirit yet to where we're actually walking in these things. People have come to me twice today or more, at least twice I know. Why does not Miss Coffey make a booklet and write down these things that she's teaching? These things are so important in life for us that we need to put them before us. Well, you see, what you hear today, you're going to retain about 15% of it. Just by listening, you're going to retain about 15%. If you made notes, you're going to get better than 25% of it. You're going to get even probably up as much as 40% of it. And if you make a tape of it and then play that tape over and over, you'll come up to 75 to 80% of what's said. But just to listen, you don't retain all that much. Are you really changed? How many of you have been to a Bible camp before? How many of you right here have been in Bible camp before? Were you changed after the last Bible camp? Did you walk in what you learned? No, you didn't walk in it, did you? Not many of us walked in much of what we heard. Now, what we learned, we probably walked in before. I've said that wrong. Of what we heard, we did not walk in. What we learned, we probably walked in. But we only learned 15% if we just listened. So we didn't walk in a whole lot of what we had here. Now, that's not putting God down in His strength and what He can do. That's putting us down in what we're doing. And we're going to have to learn to get a hold of this Word and so permeate our body with Word that if I punch you, Word's going to come out.
Yeah.
Every time I punch you and every time we rub ourselves against one another, the Word's going to come out. Now, God promised us. He gave us great and mighty promises in John in the 16th chapter. Don't turn to it. 16th chapter, verse 33. He said, in the world you're going to have tribulation.
Yes.
But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now, in this tribulation, I kind of bump up against my brother.
Words.
Tribulation.
That's the word.
But you see, as we bump against each other, it knocks the rough edges off.
Yes.
It does. You see, and it's a polishing situation, and that's what God is doing with us in tribulation. The problem is we don't know enough of the Word, and we allow these situations to pick up the enemy and put the enemy in our spirit, where God is trying to use this to His advantage, for our advantage, to His advantage, that we will be better Christians when we come through this. And so many times we've let the enemy have a hold in our life. Now, in that same scripture we're talking about, if you'll back up to chapter 3, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That was Exodus 23, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many gods have you got before God tonight? What do you mean? I don't have an idol in my house. I don't have any gods before my God. I love the Lord. And everything that we esteem ahead of the Lord, we make a God out of. We do it with our children. Adults do it with their children, with their wives, their husbands, with their house, with their boat, with their cars. All of this, many people make gods out of these things, out of people, idols. Altars. When we first got in deliverance, we had a lady that says, I want you to come over to my house. I want you to cleanse my house. Pray over it. And we walked in the house, and the first thing we see is an altar to her children. Set up. Oh, it is set up so beautiful. All the pictures. Candles on the side. I mean, it is just a beautiful altar. Lifting up and worshiping. Oh, yeah, there was a Bible there, too. But she was worshiping her children. And that was one of the first things that opened my eyes to it. We had, I guess I can say this, we had some close friends, a man and his wife. They had no children, beautiful home. We were full gospel members together. Both of us were directors in full gospel or officers. And his wife got sick. And the doctor said, this is serious. And they asked us to come pray. And we walked in the house. And everywhere you looked, there were ceramics. And most of them were frogs all over the house. Leprechauns were there. I don't know what all. I don't remember. This was years ago. This was many years ago. And they were close friends of ours. And we prayed and we prayed. And the Lord says, clean the house. And we told them, clean the house. And you know their response was, I paid a lot of good money for this. We won't do it. And 2 months later, she was dead. Now, I don't know that she died because of that. But she refused to get rid of the little idols in the house. You know, we've had to cleanse our house so many times. We think, I've got it clean. You know, we wiped out all of this stuff. And repeatedly, God will point out something else. Here's something that you have not done. Now, this might not be necessarily an idol. It might be an abomination. Things that are not pleasing unto God. And we've had to get rid of all manner of stuff out of our house. So we've had many burnings and many destroyings and crushings and breakings. And I remember some ceramics that that we accidentally drop, you know, because they're given to us by close friends and family and such as this. And we accidentally drop them and they break, you know. And we can't put broken stuff back in the house. So we just, you know, it just had to go. So God is telling us to clean up, clean our house. Let's get rid of all these things that don't count for anything in our life. But I want you to realize that we have a God that is a great God, and He loves you. He loves you very much. Stop and think right this moment. We take for granted so much. Jesus loved you so much. Just you. I'm talking about just you individually. I'm not talking about all of you out here, and yet I'm talking to each one of you here. Jesus died for you. Just you. Had you been the only person left here, if you just one, if it was only one, Jesus loved you enough to die for you. He thought you were worth something. I think you're worth something. I think you have real worth in the economy of God and in this land here. I think God wants to use you, not all in the same manner. There's something for each one of us to do. And God wants us to become involved in His Word, that it's in us so well that we will be able to hear His voice when He speaks and know exactly what He wants, so we can move mightily in the way that He wants us to move to accomplish the things that He wants to accomplish in the life. You know, we pray, Jesus, do this for me. Jesus, do that for me. Father, do this for me. Do that for me. Do you know that when Jesus got on that cross and hung there, and He did it, He almost crawled up there. They didn't do it. He did it Himself. He agreed to that. That was His purpose here on the earth. And when He got up there, He said, it is finished. And He had prepared everything that was necessary. Peter says that it was all everything for your life and for godliness. Yes. It's all done. And He did it all. And now He says, you go. It's in your hands now. Not only is it in your hands to go out and spread this word, but it's in your hands to clean up yourself and your church and your people around about you. Well, I can't do that. You got a mouth. You know the Lord and you can pray to Him. Are you praying for your neighborhood? Are you praying for your church? How many of your churches that you go to in this congregation right here preach and minister deliverance in your church? How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6. That leaves a lot of congregations that aren't doing it in this group, you see. Are you praying for them? A deliverance, I keep saying it, deliverance is not everything, but we need it to clean ourselves up so we can move on with the Lord. We need to be free from Satan's power so we can do the things that God wants us to do. So this is where we are and what we're doing. In Matthew, oh, praise God, this one is so lovely. In the sixth chapter, I want to start reading to you in verse 25. Jesus, our brother, preached. He says if we understand these three chapters, that Jesus presented everything in these three chapters that is necessary here. So here's a portion of it. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the heathen seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But verse 33, that's what I was trying to get to. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness. I don't have any. But my God has righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. And with that promise, why are you worried about what the things of this world and what's going to happen to you? It's because we have not learned to walk in the Word of God yet. That we don't trust that. We are unbelieving believers, you see. We're believers. I didn't say you wasn't saved and that on your way. But you see, people get a little upset with me when I talk about this being saved. And it seems to say you're not saved. No, you were saved when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ and you said, live in me. You're being saved right now as you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And in the end, when you meet Him and stand before Him as you have walked with Him in life, you shall be saved at that point for eternity. So it is in three tenses, and we are working out our salvation even now, and we don't need any of this junk that the enemy is trying to put on us and his lies and his deception. So we need a discerning spirit to understand what's happening round about us. And when something is said, we need to know, where is this coming from? Who is the author of this? Look at Ezekiel in the 28th chapter, just for a verse of Scripture. In verse 12 it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, that thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, he had already talked about the prince of Tyrus. Now he's talking down to the king of Tyrus, and he is representative of Satan himself. And if you read the rest, and I'll come back to it later, you'll realize that that's who he's talking about. But I want you to look at this this king. That word king means to ascend to the throne. And we'll learn a little later on as we go into Isaiah that that's what Satan wanted to do. He wanted the throne. He wanted to sit on that throne, the throne of God. That was his purpose. And he publicly stated that. He stated that he wanted that. The word Tyrus, if you look that word up and check back into its base word, it means to confine. And isn't that what Satan is out to trying to do, is to confine you into his place and under his power. It also means then, if you want it a little closer to him, it means your adversary. It comes from the word that's translated adversary. It means to bind, to enclose, or to lay siege. And all of these are descriptive of Satan's work in the life of people today. So this pretty much ties me into that king over there. And when he says, you seal up, how did he say it? Sealest up the sum. It means to close up, to make an end. And that's what Satan's out to do. He's trying to make an end of you. But he's out to make an end of all wisdom and all knowledge. He would try his best to destroy the works of God. He wants to stop everything that God's doing, especially he wants to stop you that would listen to him. Now, why are you under attack? Is anybody under attack here? Has anybody been under attack this week from Satan? Why? Why? Well, you turn to the Lord. You turn to the Lord to start with. On top of that, you came into a deliverance camp. Well, what's that got to do with it? Oh, a deliverance camp. This is the place that you really fight. Do spiritual warfare against the enemy. And this is the one that the place that people come here that have the knowledge of how to destroy the works of the devil, because they have listened to the Word of God and they have applied that to the acts that are going on today, and they're beginning to destroy some of the works of the devil. And Satan, this is the one thing that comes against him. I have a lady in my church that says, I hate him. I hate the devil. I hate the devil. I hate Satan. Well, I hate Satan too, but that doesn't bother him. He hates me. But it doesn't do any damage to him. It does not affect him at all for me to hate him, because that's what he is, you see. That's his nature. My God is love. But he is hate and destruction. And that does not do it. But when I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you on the authority of that name to come out of that person, something happens. Yes. You see, we come in God's authority to set people free from Satan's power. And he knows. James tells us, demons fear and tremble when we start speaking the name of Jesus. They get real upset. Because this is the authority. And when a believer gets a hold of it and starts moving in it, nothing is impossible with them in that area then, because they have the right artillery to go after him.
Amen.
What do you have? You have the name of Jesus. You have the Word of God. You have the blood of Jesus. That's the three biggest tools that you have. Well, the Holy Spirit is there. We have the Holy Spirit. We'll use four. And what else do you need? I mean, this is all that's necessary. So, no wonder he trembles when we come in to Bible camp and we start a deliverance camp here and start calling spirits off. Because this is the thing that tears his kingdom down. I think this has done more people that have come in and that know the authority and come against Satan and his power in deliverance, and especially in spiritual warfare prayers to stop the work of Satan in this country. You see, this country was known as a Christian nation. Can you say that today? Is this still a Christian nation? Some of the fastest growing denominations, if you can call them such, and I'm not classing them with Christian, but they are growing, cults are growing faster than the Christian church in this day and time. So, look about you. You see the work of the devil everywhere that you look. I'm not giving him power, nor I'm just telling you these are facts. This is where we are, and we have the authority to stop it. We are the ones, face it, if this generation doesn't begin to do something, where are we going for the next generation? Look how far he has advanced. Look at the last 50 years. just look in the last 50 years. We were quite different. My brother back there, Mildred and Glenn, all of us, we realize where we were 50 years ago. And you look today, and this is not the same country we were in 50 years ago. Things have changed. And it is because of the work of the devil and people receiving and walking in it and giving him authority to move in their lives. And what we're trying to do is to set them free from all of this. When he saw when he says he seals up the sum, that word sums means he tears up. You seal up the pattern. Satan sealed, when he was made, he sealed up that pattern. The size and the pattern, that's what that word sum means. Did you notice there in verse 12 again that he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty?
Yes.
Wisdom. You're no match for Satan. You're no match for his demons. They know the Word. They use the Word. They know the Word. They know it better than most Christians. Amen. Because Christians do not apply themselves to the Word of God the way they should. They do not study it. Guilty. Guilty, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I have not applied myself to the way that I should apply. We all need to start our day with the Word of God. I mean, if you feed your body every day, and if you quit feeding it every day, what's going to happen to your body? Well, you know. There's no need to answer that. Well, why don't you feed your spirit man? You've got to feed that spirit man, too. And if you don't feed him, what happens to him? The same thing that happens to your body if you don't feed your body. He withers away. So we need to apply ourselves to the Word of God daily. The next verse of that, it says, "Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." It used to really throw me on that. I had to go look that one up for sure. The tabrets. I've always heard that Satan was in charge of the music. That was one of his duties. I've heard that. I don't know who told me that and where it come from, but I've heard it more than once. And that it just kind of got in my spirit that Satan was in charge of the heavenly music. The tabrets are the tambourines. It means tambourine. It's a musical instrument that you keep time with. And I thought the pipes was something like our organ pipes or something like this, or something that you blew on a pipe that you blew on. But when you look that word up, that's not what that talks about. That word pipes means bezel. Now, you don't know what that is. That's the face or the setting. And when he's talking about those stones, the settings for those stones was made perfect. Didn't it just get through talking, listing all those stones? All those settings were made perfect in him in the day that he was created. Everything God made, he did perfectly. God didn't halfway do it. He made Satan, whose name was Lucifer, most beautiful of the angels, I think. I think he was the most. He said he was perfect in beauty. And he was a handsome angel. There's nothing wrong with him. I mean, God knew what was going to happen. God was not... He wasn't caught unaware when Satan committed his treason. God knew what was happening. God prepared it over for man. He knew what was going to happen to man. He knew it in Genesis. He talked about it in chapter 2. Or was it 3? 3. Chapter 3. He told you about it, that Satan would bruise the heel. And his anointed one would bruise Satan's head. So he knew right at the very beginning where we were going. And he's left the authority of moving in this to clean out the works that have happened here into your hands and my hands. Now, the authority of God has not left us without something to use here. He's encouraging us. He's sitting in heaven saying, "Come on, come on. I know you can do it. I know you can do it. Get in there and drive those out. Do my works. Read my word. Understand who I am." And he's encouraging us all of the time. He says that he was in the garden. That pretty well those scriptures there pretty well describe who he was. I think that, that got us in the place where he is. And if we will go to Isaiah chapter 19, I want a script, verse of scripture in Isaiah 19. We've attributed everything that happens to us to Satan and his demons. Tend to do that, I see. I mean, we really try to say that, that he's responsible for everything. But you know, God, because of our disobedience, loosed a lot of stuff on us. Isaiah 19, verse 14 says, "The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit." Now, the Lord loosed a perverse spirit. There are other scriptures that, that talk about this. I just wanted to bring in the fact that, hey, we need to be knowledgeable of what's happening. We need the discerning of spirits when we walk this land and when we minister and when things are happening to us, even if we're not ministering, we need to know. We need a discerning spirit. Now, that's one of the gifts of God. Now, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gave us gifts. Do you remember? 1 Corinthians 12, isn't it? In there is the nine gifts that he names in 1 Corinthians 12, the discerning of spirits is one of those gifts that he gave to man. Now, we need to learn to operate in that spirit. Well, how are we going to operate it? Well, if we don't know the Word of God and know who God is and what he's doing through his word, how are we going to understand anything about what this... You mean to say, we seem to think that God's going to unscrew the top of this thing up here called a head and then pour all kinds of knowledge into it and then put it back on and we're all ready to go again. But it don't work that way. It just don't work that way. We're going to have to learn by getting into this word here and applying it here into our heart, into our spirit man, and let this word become life to us. That word is alive. It is alive. It says it's alive and powerful. So we're going to have to let that word become alive to us so that we can understand exactly what's going on. Another scripture about that, let me give you a second one. I know that I got a lot of looks when I said that, that God did that. I want to go to... Where? Amos chapter 3. Well, I better get out of Joel. Amos 3, verse 6. "Shall a trumpet be blown in a city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets." The Lord not done it? You see, nothing happens that God is not aware of. And even the things that Satan is doing, God's aware. Do you know God is not thrown off of his throne because what Satan has done today, even though he is running rampart in some areas, he's taken over even probably whole cities. And as many churches that he's sitting in. Yes. That's exactly where he wants to be, Irma. They are there. They come in to pervert what's going on. They slip in unawares. They come in as witches. They come in as warlocks. And they undo as much work as they possibly can in the church. Where else would you work? How would you work out against a Christian? We had that witch in ours, and I know that she came very near destroying the church before we got rid of her. And even then she left a lot of trash in there that it's taken a long time to get rid of all of the stuff that she left in our church, in people. And we're having to clean out all of this that's been left because we had a full-fledged witch. So I know from experience that they do attack the church. And we couldn't get a whole lot of information because she claimed to be a Christian, you see, and had been saved. And who was it? The ministry? What ministry? Television? Radio? Somebody down in Texas. I forgot. Bob Larson. Bob Larson talked to one of his people. She called one of his people, and through that person was received salvation, was her story. Just as false as it could be. And they'll lie to you with the straightest face you've ever seen. They're not coming at you with horns on their head, nor tails hanging behind them, in red union suits. They're coming in angels of light. That's right, she came seeking help. And of course, that's what we do. That's our church. That's a mission. Our mission is to help people. And we tried to help her. And she did her best to destroy the church and did a pretty good job of it. Praise God, my God's stronger than any demon or any witch that ever lived. So hallelujah. But I wanted you to know that they do these things. Okay, let's go on with Ezekiel 28. In verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, and thou wast perfect in their ways. And from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee, and by the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covered cherub. Now I see you started out talking about Tyrus the king, and now he's the covered cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire, and thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, and by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring a fire upon thee, and so on. So we see here is our enemy. Here is the adversary. This is who he is, and this explains Satan to us. Now, there's another companion scripture that goes along with it that explains him in Isaiah in the 14th chapter. I'll just give you a portion of it and start at verse 12. He says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground that didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now, here's the problem with Lucifer and how he got turned into Satan. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And I'll stop with that and to show you that everything God has, Satan counterfeits. He wanted to be just like God. He wanted all that God had, and he perverted even a third of the stars. I don't know, I might have do this later, I don't know. That was the next scripture. A third of the angels of heaven that got caught up in this pride of Lucifer and the revolt that took place. And you said, that was in heaven? All that was in heaven? Well, why did Jesus say, touch me not? I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. And then in Hebrews it tells us that he went into the heavenlies and cleansed the original that we had types and shadows of on the earth, that Holy of Holies in the original by his blood. He cleansed the original. Why did it need cleansing in the heaven? Because of Satan's rebellion. So therefore, we know we have an arch enemy that has power. And if you don't believe he has power, read Revelation. And it'll tell you some of the things that he can do and the power that he has. He says one place that he'll even call down fire from heaven and do things like this. And he is a powerful enemy, but that still does not mean that he's more powerful than my God. And in these last days, we're going to see the enemy at work. So I wanted us to understand about the enemy. Would you want to see that? Turn with me to Revelation, to the 12th chapter, and Verse 4, it says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Well, it says stars. Do you understand stars? If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest, this is Jesus speaking to John, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest the seven churches. Seven stars are angels, it says to the seven. Those seven stars were the angels to the seven churches. Stars are representative of angels. So he has fallen angels. Talks to us about them in Peter and in Jude, both places. It says they are under imprisoned under darkness, and which means that they will not understand the darkness is the they will not have light nor understanding of God's word. So we have an enemy that we are at war against, and we're fighting and. And we have a real problem in the earth today with this enemy. Because he comes in so sly. He uses the natural things of the world. Even as he spoke in the Bible to Eve, he comes in with the question, did God say, you can't eat of every tree in the garden? Comes in with a... See, he wants you, he gives you an opportunity to disobey. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get disobedience. I said at the beginning, spirits come in. And I told you this and did quite a bit the day before yesterday, I believe it was, that disobedience opens these doors for these things to come in. This, when we disobey, we are open, wide open to the enemy for his attack. So we need to know where we are. We need to have this word so much of a guide in our life that the minute Satan pops his head up, the word will automatically ring a bell. And it'll, wrong, check this out, find out what's going on, who said that? Our knowledge is not worth anything in the sight of God. Do you realize that? I think I said that the other day. And this earthly knowledge that we have, we're smart. We're real smart. We can build buildings. We can build trains. We can build rockets that go to the moon. And that counts for nothing with God. Not one iota. The flesh, the things of the flesh, have absolutely no value with my God. But my heart, where my heart is and my spirit man, he is looking at that and what I am doing with his son Jesus Christ and his word is where he's looking at and where I'm walking there. What's going on here? What's happening to the spirit man? So I need to quit trying to walk in the flesh. Oh, we've got so much scripture. I'm not going to try to get into the fleshly walk and the spiritual walk today. But we have so much scripture that comes against this fleshly walk. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And that's enough to let us know that we don't fight to walk in the things of the world. So we need to really understand and walk with our Father, our Heavenly Father. The only way we can do it is right here. We're going to have this. This is the guide. If I want to go from here to New York, I've got to have a road map. No way I can get up there without a road map. Here it is, right here. This is my road map to heaven. This tells me everything I need to know. He says, as I said a little while ago, everything that I need for life and godliness is in here. So that will carry me there if I will apply it. And it's more than knowing it again. You've got to more than just know it. You have got to walk in it. And if Satan is talking in your ear, you cannot walk in it. Are we smart enough to hear? I'm talking about all of us now. Are we all smart enough to hear and understand who's speaking to me in my thoughts here? Is that God? Is that the Holy Spirit that's speaking? Or is that another spirit? the playground for the enemies up here. This is where he is. This is his home. This is where he resides. And he comes and he works out of this part up here. Here's where he is. And these thoughts, we keep thinking, well, that's my thought. That was my idea. And you heard this thought came in there. It sounds so good because it always sounds good. If it didn't sound good, he'd never get any followers. But it sounds good. And therefore, we walk in it. And then it starts separating us from our God simply because it's wrong. It is an error. It is an error, and we began to walk in error because it is of Satan. It is of the enemy. Okay, let's look at some of the things that he does and his attributes. Very famous scripture with me when we came out of the denominational church was John 10:10. Says the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who's the thief? Satan is the thief. He's the one that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He'll steal everything you have. He'll empty your pockets. He'll put holes in your pockets and take it out of your pocket. He'll take your life from you if you'll let him. He'll take your thoughts from you. He will steal everything that he can from you. He'll kill you when he can. And he'll destroy everything that he can get his hands on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come against that spirit of destruction right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That destruction over this camp. That tries to destroy here in Jesus' name. That we've seen evidence of, Father. We know he's here. We bind him in the name of the Lord Jesus and take authority over him and break his power in the name of Jesus. And we'll not receive any of his work any longer. We repent for allowing him to stay even this length of time, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I bind the spirit of destruction, Apollyon and Abaddon, the destroyer and the destruction. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind his strength and power. I place him under my feet, and I'll not allow him any longer to move freely through this camp. In fact, I take authority that he'll not move at all in Jesus' name. And I cast him forth from this camp. And I thank you, Father, for doing the work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I didn't finish that scripture purposely. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is the one that gives life. No, Satan has power. He does have some power. He comes and does his work, the stealing, the killing, and destroy. Jesus says, I give life. And we have recognized it and began to walk in that light and plan to walk in a lot more of it. We have not yet understood what God has for us. Do you know we have only touched the surface of this Word? We have not got into anything really yet of the real deep Word that God wants us to understand and to walk in. We get little snatches here and a snatch there. Brother here came and brought some. Brother earlier brought some Word that God had truly revealed to him. And we know this is all true. I'm not, you know, when I read this, I know that the surface of what he's saying is true and natural. But he has a spiritual work involved in this. Because this was given by the Spirit of God. And it is a spiritual book for a spirit man. The world can't understand this. He can't even understand preaching. He said, that's foolishness to the people of the world. But God has a word here for you and I when we begin to walk with him, and he'll begin to open it up, and he'll share that word with you.
Amen.
Now, we need preaching. That's true. We need preaching. We need this fivefold ministry. We need it bad. But do you know God will talk to you?
Yes, he will.
And we need to clean up so that there's not a hindrance within me so I can hear the voice of God when he speaks and know that it is the voice of God.
We've told you before, we've had people in our church
that hear voices. I mean, they talk to them all the time. They lead lives. I mean, they go about daily tasks and work. I don't know how they do it when these things talk like they do. But they talk to them in the mind, and they hear this. They hear it. You can't hear it from the outside. They hear this. And they talk filthy. It's just filthy, gutter language. But they talk. How does a person live a life with all this going on in their head, speaking to them And then hearing this and trying to walk. We've had to cast this out of people before. And I could spend the rest of the day and the evening telling you of experiences if you want experience. But I want the Word. I want what God is doing here. I don't want to know what man is doing. Now, I like to hear what God is doing in the earth. But I want to know what this Word says and how it applies to me. Because do you know that every bit of this applies to you? Even that was written back here, let's see, my Bible's got a little date in it. It says 4004 B.C. That's 6,090-some years ago. But you know that applies to you today? That very, very definitely, those first three chapters in this book, if you could really understand that, it will change your life. The book will change your life, but those three are very important. God's creation, what He did, and then how man fell, and God working through this. And God knew it. God knew that this was happening, and He has a plan, and you're the plan. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You are the plan. He's got you here today to help rid some of the junk the enemy's put in this land, the demons that are free and walking and moving through the land. You say, I don't need deliverance. Well, praise God, I don't know what you're doing here then. You ought to be in heaven if you don't need deliverance. Satan attacks everybody. Well, it's through his demons. It's always, I think it's understood, my wife said his demons do. I think it's understood that Satan is not omnipresent. Satan cannot be here and in, up on the other side of the hill and over in Little Rock and in Washington all at one time. He just can't do that. Only my God has that power. And Satan can't do that, but he's got a network of communication through his demons that it looks like he tries to make you think he's everywhere at one time, but it's his demonic powers at work. And they're under our feet. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. They're under His feet, and as we walk with Him, where are they? They're under our feet, if we will walk with Him. We're going to have to get so close to Jesus. When Satan looks at us, he can't tell the difference. But we're going to have to look so much like Jesus that not only Satan, when we walk up to our fellow man, they can't tell the difference. It's Jesus. That's the important thing in our life. But Satan is here. That's his purpose, to come to destroy. The Romans 6, I use this many times, 16, simply because that we, here's how we get caught up in it. 6:16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. And if we obey a demon, we become a servant to him. If we fall in line with that thing that is whispering in our ear and the thoughts that come into our mind through demonic power, then we become a servant to him. Romans 6:16. It's also in 1 Peter, I believe, but one's enough tonight. Look at Matthew 8, the 8th chapter. In chapter 8, verse 16, it says, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. Cast out the spirits with his word, with his logos. And this is how you cast out spirits out, with his word. It is the word of God. And the name, we use his name, and the name implies his authority. All that he is in his name. And as we use his name, it is the... He is the Son of God. He has all power in the earth because God has given unto him all authority. He says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, you go. You go. Which implies, I give you authority. You go. Because he says it in another place, I give you authority. He says it in another place. So, when we use that name of Jesus, we apply all of the authority of heaven. And that's why demons fear and tremble at the name of Jesus. Because they know what happened there. And they know their of their rebellion of the fallen angels. So when that name comes forth, they know the power. Now, are you a believer? Are you believing that this word is working? That word has to work. But when you anybody can call the name of Jesus. Just anybody can use the name, but if you don't believe that that word is going to work, there's no authority in that. You've got to know who you are and who He is, and that name has the authority, and that person that you're ministering to needs to believe that that thing's going to go.
Yes.
Faith, that's faith. It's a word, faith. I did that for you day before. Yes, faith. I'm not going through that again. Faith. Faith. It is a power. It is a strength. It's evidence. And as we walk in it and we use it in our life as we minister through faith, demons know it and God uses it and honors it to move His word as we speak His word in faith, believing, we see the power of God move mightily. Mildred told you, I think she did it yesterday, in at one time here, how Jesus was born. How did Jesus get born of a virgin? How did people, she was hunting, how did you get born again? Born again. How did, you know, very wise man asked Jesus that. He says, do I have to crawl back in my mother and be reborn all over again? And Jesus explained to him, you don't, the wind, the spirit moves. But we kept asking, and I'll repeat it, what she found out. And in Luke, in the first chapter, that angel came and talked to Mary. And that angel gave Mary the plan for the birth of the Son of God. And as He gave it, it works just like it does today. When I tell you this, do you believe it? No, I don't believe that. Well, it's not yours. You didn't get it. You didn't get any part of it. You didn't have any part of it. You don't get any part of it. But Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Just like you spoke it. And she received the word of that angel. And conceived in her womb, and Jesus Christ was born. And you are born again by receiving the word of salvation in your spirit man, and it finds residence there and conceives, and you're born again. Same way. Exactly the same way. Now, when you got salvation, what did you get? Well, when we said we received Jesus Christ, I don't think too many of us at the very first beginning, only a few of us, really, a few of you, I didn't know. I didn't know what I was getting into, really. Oh, I had an idea of, you know, what I wanted. And what we're doing is, I heard somebody say, brother said it today, that we're seeking things for ourselves, what we're doing. We're still seeking things for ourselves. We're coming to God. I want salvation. I don't want to die and go to hell. God do this for me and God do that for me. And we don't do things for the glory of God. And this is what God put you here on earth for, was for His glory. And I don't know why I'm getting off in all of this, but God has something going here. And He wants you to understand that you are here for God's glory.
Yes.
And we need to allow God to move through us in whatever way He wants to move. And shut off this old computer up here of flesh and let God have His way and move in the way that He wants to. And as we do this, we'll begin to see God get His work done and move mightily in the world today. So let's start trusting in our God. We operate the same way here now as Jesus operated. He spoke something. We speak it. We speak the Word. We believe in faith that this word's going to work. It's going to set people free. Why? Because He said it would. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you will cast out devils. And we believe that. And God honors that. And God moves mightily from heaven where His seated throne is, but I know His throne is here also. And He's moving here and there, all over this place. This is His throne. So, by our word repeating God's word, speaking God's word, this is how we move and operate in the land today. Matthew 12, 43 says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it walketh through dry places and seeking rest and findeth none. That word rest means recreation, incidentally. He seeks recreation and he finds none. Then he said, I will return into my house from whence I came. And when he comes, he found it empty, swept, and garnished, which means that we have not filled up on the word. It's empty. The house is empty. We had a vacancy when the demon moved out, and we didn't fill it back with the Holy Spirit. We didn't fill it back with the Word of God. We just left it vacant. We said, look how nice I am. Oh, I've got deliverance. Look at me. I got cleaned up. I got deliverance. It's garnished. You see, we're making it look good. And we tend to do that. We tend to make everything look good. We want to be liked. We want people to like us. And if I go around telling you how dirty, mean, and ornery I am, people won't like me. So I'm a pretty nice feller, you see. And I show that side. And the enemy comes back and he finds us looking good, but empty. Then he goeth and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in to dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And he starts out talking about his house, and he ends up talking about the man. So we recognize that the Spirit left him and what God is saying here. So we need to fill up on the Word. We always need to fill up on the Word after we receive deliverance. We want to replace that spot with something of the Lord. We want that place to be full so that when the devil looks back, and don't kid yourself that he's not coming back, and he's going to try his best to convince you that you didn't get any deliverance. That didn't really happen. You know, didn't anything happen, really. That was just your emotions. You just got carried away, is what he's going to tell you. And if you agree with it, you pick him right back up. You'll just carry him and invite him right back in if you agree with him. And he's going to try that to you when you receive deliverance. Don't do it. Say, yes, in the name of Jesus, I receive my deliverance. Yes. You'll have no place in me. Go, be gone. In Jesus' name. Exodus 23. Verse 27 says, I'll send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. He's talking to the children of Israel as they are on their journey from out of the world of Egypt into their land promised by God to Abraham. And they are on their way, and God is talking to Moses, and he says, I'll send the hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee, and I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. But by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou hast increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. Your hand. Did you hear that? He's going to deliver them into your hand. And thou shalt drive them out before thee. Who's going to do it? Thou. And thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods, and they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. And if thou serve their gods, I will surely be a snare unto thee. I read all that to say, hey, it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me. If I want deliverance, I have got to believe that I'm going to get deliverance, that I am in right standing with God. I have confessed my sin. I'm not holding unforgiveness. Those are the two big things that are going to stop deliverance right off the bat. I'm sure there could be others, but right off the top of my head, those are going to stop deliverance. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, the other thing is that if you're wanting just to be set free so you can enjoy life, forget it. You're not going to have it. You might get some temporary help. I don't know. Your only purpose for being set free is to serve God. That's your only reason that God gives for being set free from these things. So, understand that this is where we are and where we go. 1 Peter 1. I'll run through these last few right quick, and we'll do some deliverance here. And call some spirits out. And verse 15 says, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." When I say conversation, you think the English word conversation. This was written, almost 400 years ago. That language that they used was an old English language. It is not Elizabethan, I don't think. It's an old English language. That word meant your behavior. Be very careful in all your behavior. Because it is written, "Be ye holy, because I am holy. For I am holy." And as God is holy, He expects His people to be holy. What's holy? Set apart. Set apart from the world. Turning off the things of the world and turning to the Lord and looking to the things of the Lord and say, "Lord, what do you want? What will I do this day? How will I go about it, Lord? What is your will for my life right now? What do you want from me?" And we go to Him and we ask Him. Say, "Well, I don't hear from God." We need to get in this Word so we can hear from God. This is the purpose. Clean up our life. Get rid of the thing that's speaking to us up here in our thoughts. Get Him out of there so we can hear from God. And this is the reason. 2 Corinthians, two more scriptures I want to use. Good. What do you mean good?
You hear that?
She said good. 2 Corinthians 7. Back up a page, verse 1. I know why your Bible... No, you're not in my, that Bible. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves." Who's going to cleanse us? "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You don't have any holiness. You won't ever have any of your holiness. You can only have God's holiness. He says your holiness is as filthy rags. So what we do, anything that we do, will not come up to the perfection of our God in the flesh. Those things we do in the flesh will never, never, ever please God. So we're going to have to depend on Him and what He desires, what He wants from us and our actions of doing those things that He desires of us. And again, one that says it a different way is 1 John in chapter 3, verse 3. "And every man hath this hope in him, purifieth himself even as he is pure." Purify himself. God wants us to clean up. He wants us to rid ourselves of the sin that so easily besets us. And the reasoning behind the sins, those things that cause us to sin. There's a scripture over in Genesis that said, "Sin lieth at the door." He's waiting to pounce upon you. He's lying right at your door, waiting for you, that if you'll just open the door to Him, He'll enter in. And we're not going to do that. We are God's people. We are turning our back on the devil and on evil, and we're going to get ourselves cleaned up. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody want deliverance this afternoon? She said, "I'm on the front row." Our church always ministered deliverance. If anybody that wanted deliverance, come down to the front row. It's the way we did it. We did it one-on-one or two-on-one is how we did it, really. We always put two people on a person we ministered to them. So that's what she had reference to, she's down on the front row. But I think every one of us that are looking at God and our life today are on the front row. It's what, spiritually, this is where we are. We're wanting to be clean. I think everyone really has a desire in your heart to be cleansed. And As I've preached and said unto you, it is not up to me. I'm going to call just a list of demons. I'm going to name them. I'm not picturing you as having these things. I'm calling them out because some people have them, and if it's there, you don't want it. Your reaction to this is within yourself to fight him with everything that is within you to say, you have to go, but not allowed. You sit very quietly. Do not pray out loud. You can pray all you want to, but not out loud. While I call demons out, you put both feet flat on the floor. You do not cross your legs, your grip, clench your fist or cross your arms as acts of defiance. I watch people in this place sit and fight to hold a demon while we call them. Grit their teeth to hold on to one for fear somebody would know I have a demon in me. Now, having a demon is no disgrace. Holding on to him is a disgrace, though. And we want you free. You want to be free. So if anything is stirring down in here, up through your chest, this is how they're going to react. The word spirit is pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, Greek word. It means breath, wind, spirit, all kinds of spirits. And they come out through the breath, coughing, sometimes even throwing up, yes, regurgitating. I've seen that many times. I've seen them come out even with blood coming out. So don't be self-conscious. People around you got more than you have. So let's get rid of them. Heavenly Father, I ask you now to set your people free. I ask you, Father, to touch our lives. Let your Spirit move mightily over this congregation here, Lord, and by your Spirit move into their life and give them the urgency to be set free and to fight to be set free, Father. We war with the enemy. Your word tells us that we had to war even to come into salvation, and we war with the enemy to be set free now in the name of the Lord Jesus. So by your Spirit, move mightily to set people free as I call these spirits out. We'll give you the praise, Father, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to call the spirit of slumber out right now. Spirit of slumber. Tries to put everybody asleep. First thing, slumber. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Sleep. Sleep. Oh, spirit of slumber, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Jesus. The next thing I want is unbelief. Unbelief and doubt. In the name of Jesus, I call unbelief and doubt out in Jesus' name. You have no place here. The word's alive and powerful. It's true. It is a true word. And you've got to go. In the name of Jesus, I call out unbelief and doubt. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I hadn't forgot you, slumber. Come on out. I know you hadn't left. You hadn't left everybody yet. Slumber. Sleep. Sleep. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Move. Move. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of rejection. Rejection. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Each person rebukes you. Come out. Rejection. Spirits of rejection. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you here. Rejection. Let them go. Self-pity. Self-pity. Come out. All the self-pity in Jesus' name. Jealousy. Spirits of jealousy. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Jealousy. Jealousy. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the spirits of jealousy. Depression. Spirits of depression. In the name of Jesus. Depression. Worry. Worry. Come out. All worry spirits. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Worry spirits. Come out. Come out. You have no place here. Inferiority. Inferiority and insecurity. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of inferiority and insecurity. You're worth much in the eyes of God. There's no place for inferiority. Come out. Come out, demon. Come out in Jesus' name. They're not inferior. They're inferior to no one in Jesus' name. All the mental torment. Mental torment. in the name of Jesus. Procrastination. Spirits of procrastination. We'll wait and do it later. Do it tomorrow. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. We'll put it off. We'll put it off. Come out. Come out. Spirits of procrastination. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Indecision. Indecision goes along with that. And compromise. Compromise is a one that needs to go. We compromise. We compromise the Word. We compromise on the Word. Come out. Come out. Spirits of compromise. Loose them. Loose them and come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ commands you. Loose those people. You loose them in the name of Jesus. Breathe in. Breathe out deep. Come on. Drive them out. Drive them out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Loss of memory. Loss of memory. Yeah, he works on the mind, doesn't he? It gets hard to remember things. So that's loss of memory has to go. Loss of memory. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness is a spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. A false gospel. One that preaches false gospel. Self-will. All the self-will. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That goes along with pride. Pride and self-will go hand in hand. That's part of the family. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Self-will. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. That deceiving spirit. Deceiving spirit. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you. Loose this people, that deceiving spirit. Madness. Madness. Come out. Come out. A lying spirit. A lying spirit. In the name of Jesus, I break your hold and I demand you go. Go in the name of Jesus. 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 Cursing. Cursing in Jesus' name. Call the spirit of cursing and blasphemy out. Blasphemy has to go also. Spirits of criticism. Criticism. That's a bad one. He has to go. Criticism can't stay. Can't stand in the holy temple. Criticism cannot stay in our temple. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out. Mockery. Spirits of mockery. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over spirits of mockery. And I command you, come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Don't hold them back, people. If you've got that little urging there, let them go. Cough them out. That's it. Cough them out. In Jesus' name. Stir them up. Stir them up that they have to go. In Jesus' name. Mockery. Railing. Railing spirits. Gossip. Spirits of gossip. Come out. Scornful spirits. Scornful spirits. Destroying. The destroyer. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We had a teaching on fear today. Men taught, it was taught fear. Oh, spirits of fear. Anything left in fear. Fear. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of fear. Fear. God has not given us spirit of fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Even you can't stay. You cannot stay. The Lord rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear. Fear. In Jesus' name. I call death. Death, early death. I call early death out. Spirits of early death. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Early death. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Brooding. Spirits of brooding. Resentful spirits. Bitterness. Spirits of bitterness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All bitterness spirits in Jesus' name. That root of bitterness. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Addiction spirits. All addiction spirits. Addictive spirits. Addictive to prescription drugs. Addictive to tranquilizers. Addiction to tranquilizers and all prescription drugs. Painkillers. In the name of Jesus. Addiction to nicotine. Nicotine in the name of Jesus. Smoking. Alcohol. Addicted to alcohol. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Addiction to food. Food. Just addiction to food. Overeating. Just overeating. In Jesus' name. Addiction to sports. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Addiction to caffeine. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Addiction to sweets. in the name of the Lord Jesus. All sweets, candies, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All addictive spirits, your name has been called. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. How about addictive to buying, purchasing, sales? Addiction to going to sales. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Purchasing things we have no need for. Just looking for bargains, we call it. In the name of Jesus. Just addiction to it. In Jesus' name, I take authority over it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Spirit of uncleanliness. Uncleanliness. Come out. Come out. Torment. Spirits of torment. In the name of Jesus. All tormenting spirits. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, tormenting spirits. Spirits of strong delusion and vile affection. Come out. Vile affection. I curse you in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose this people. Demons of vile affection. Come out. Seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. Burning lust. Burning lust. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Doctrine of devils. Doctrine of devils, a reprobate mind. Come out in Jesus' name. Lunacy, lunacy, spirits of lunacy. In Jesus' name, let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of unrighteousness, spirits of unforgiveness. Come out, maliciousness. In the name of Jesus, spirits of envy, envy. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Infirmity spirit, sickness, infirmity, diabetes. Oh, I don't have my list here on the infirmity spirits here. Spirits of profanity, profanity. Spirits of deceit, that double-minded spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Where's Bill? Bill here? He's got the kids though, hasn't he? Bill carry the kids? Bill.
I don't know if you want. Yeah, I guess he did.
Okay. Well, I'm on. No, I want Bill to sing. But that's all right. That's okay. We don't have to sing. It's all slowed down and quit, so we're going to pray. Let's all stand.
You sang a song, don't you sing?
No, we're not going to sing this time. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you for the deliverance that those received here, Father. We heard spirits boo, Father. And you know what happened. We don't, but you do. You see every spirit, Lord. And so I just thank and praise you for your wonderful works, Father, for your love to us that you set people free. So in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind those spirits that are left here in every person. Anything that's left in a person, I bind in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I take authority over every spirit here, and I command them to be quiet, to silent and not move in the name of Jesus. And those that came out, Father, I ask that you remove them, carry them wherever you desire, Father, that they'll be removed from here in chains in the name of the Lord Jesus, that they'll be chained away from us, that we may be free from them in Jesus' name. They'll not return in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind backlash from Satan and his demons and retaliation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for having sat in deliverance this day in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our Father, I pray right now, fill every person here with your Holy Spirit. Those vacancies where the demons moved and those that desire the infilling of your Spirit, Lord, move upon them now. Fall in the name of Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit move over us, and we'll praise you and we give you glory, and we do it all in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we pray for the food, for the workers, for those that prepared, for those that clean tables, for those that wash dishes, Father. We bless those people, Lord, abundantly. They have become ministers to your people here in the name of the Lord Jesus. We bless the cooks in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we bless the food that it will suffice for the needs of the body. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC www.bibleonline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.